This morning's Bible reading is taken from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 15. Starting at verse 1 of John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it may be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear much fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
It's a wonderful privilege being able to bring God's word today as 2020 draws to a close. Grateful that God still reigns through this year and will do so in 2021. Our daughter was married recently, and it reminded me of a wedding reception I attended once. On the tables in the reception, there were balloons and flowers set up beautifully, but my seat around the table meant that the balloons blocked seeing the flowers, and especially the vase that the flowers were in. They were white lilies, and I could see the lilies sticking out above the balloons, but not down the bottom. They were so attractive. And at some point in the reception, when people got up and started moving around, I went to have a look at these beautiful lilies. It was then that I noticed that they were artificial. Artificial flowers have aesthetic value, but they're not real. They have no life. They have no aroma. They can't be used as cuttings. They can't be repotted. They are all about looks. To a degree, that portrays our society, which is so much about appearance. The temptation is to be concerned about our image more so than our authenticity. For followers of Jesus, John chapter 15 is a valuable reminder that it's not about our superficial veneer which we can so easily portray for others, but it's actually what is within that is important. As we stand on the threshold of a new year, 2021, being followers of Jesus is about abiding or remaining in Him. People who abide in Christ won't make celebrity lists, but it is abiding alone that will produce obedience, joy, prayer, and witness, even in the midst of a year like we've had this year. John, in his Gospel, chapters 13 to 17, sees Jesus addressing his disciples. He's addressing their fears because he said he was going to leave them, referring to his impending death. And he taught them how to live as they waited for his return. As part of this teaching, Jesus used the image of a vine, depicting his life flowing through his followers and producing his fruit in and through them. This is true for us, for we continue to wait for Jesus to return. As we approach 2021, Jesus' words are still true. I am the true vine. He said in chapter 15 and verses 1 to 3, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Jesus, in a number of times through John's Gospel, uses the title, I am. It's the name by which God revealed himself to Moses. By using it, Jesus was claiming to be equal with God. He is the one to whom all things point. He is the very essence and substance of all things. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This image of the vine, when Jesus says, I am the vine represented Old Testament Israel. And often in the Old Testament, it was used in the context of Israel failing to live as God's people. By Jesus saying, I am the true vine, he was claiming to be the true Israel. Unlike the nation of Israel, Jesus willingly obeyed his Father. He fulfilled all that God's people were called to be and do. And so for us as his people, we must abide in him. As we approach this new year, the Father is still the gardener. Jesus is the vine, and the Father's role is to cut off dead wood so the vine will be more fruitful. The words prune and cut off are from the same root word, and they sound similar. It's as though Jesus says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he cuts back so that it will be even more fruitful. The Father's pruning is always purposeful, and his purpose is to increase fruitfulness. That means that authentic Christians will always display fruit to some degree. If there is no fruit, then that person is not a genuine believer. However, the reality is that pruning is often uncomfortable. Yet at those times, in God's sovereignty, are not pointless. I remember growing up hearing about Jodie Erickson, who became Jodie Tarter Erickson. She became a quadriplegic, quadriplegic as a result of a diving accident at the age of 17. There has been some deep, deep times for her, and yet she's accomplished many things. She paints with her mouth. She has written several books. Even now, as a quadriplegic, her day-to-day life is one of almost total dependence on others, and it's been really difficult. After 45 years since the accident, she said that she has been pushed up against God, and God has shown her some deep things about his purpose and himself, which are so satisfying and so pleasurable, she wouldn't trade the wheelchair for anything. What a remarkable statement to make. A lady called Margaret Feinberg said, "Those who work with vineyards must adopt a long-term approach. The first year, a viticulturist plants shoots of vines. Then at the end of the first growing season, cuts them back. After a second year has passed, they are cut back again. Only after the third year is the first viable clusters of grapes seen. But these are left on the vines. It's not until year four that they bring in the first harvest. That harvest will be bottled, but the wine won't be tasted for many more years. Most vineyards reach a break-even point not until year 15 or beyond. The father, as the gardener, has a long-term investment in his people in view. Such a view often challenges and clashes with our own expectations. We develop assumptions or expectations of what life will look like, and when those things don't eventuate, we can question and complain. And yet Jesus assures us the Father has a bigger picture than what we do. In his sovereignty, even while pruning is hurtful, God is working behind the scenes to bring about fruitfulness in us. So we are to keep trusting the Father and all that he says, because he knows what is needed to produce Christ's character, his priorities, and his mission in us. Our role is to trust that the Father knows best, even when that seems so counterproductive to what we're going through. As we approach 2021, to remain in Christ is still the key to being fruitful. In these verses, the word remain or abide is such a key word. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. To remain in Christ is to receive all that God is for us in Christ. Like a branch that remains attached to the vine and so receives the life-giving sap from the vine, so everything about Christ's life is designed to live and flow through us. And the natural outworking is fruit produced in us. This fruit is the fruit of obedience to Jesus' commands, experiencing Jesus' joy, demonstrating Jesus' love for one another, bearing witness of Jesus to the world, and knowing the peace that Jesus gives. The overriding principle in fruit bearing is that the Father is glorified. Verse 8 says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." Andrew Murray, who lived many, many generations ago, said, "The true pupil, say of some great musician or painter, yields his master a wholehearted and unhesitating submission. In practicing his scales or mixing the colours, in the slow and patient study of the elements of his art, he knows that it is wisdom simply and fully to obey. It is this wholehearted surrender to his guidance, this implicit submission to his authority, which Christ asks. We come to him asking him to teach us the lost art of obeying God as he did. The only way of learning to do a thing is to do it. The only way of learning obedience from Christ is to give up your will to him and to make the doing of his will the one desire and delight of your heart." We can't produce this fruit through our human endeavours. And so prayer is so important, for we are asking God to do what we cannot do. And it's prayer that is mentioned in verses 7 and 16. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Amazingly, Jesus says that we can pray for whatever and it will be done or will be given. Jesus is saying that when our desire is for God to be glorified and our motivation is to have love for others, then what we pray for will reflect that. What an incredible challenge that is. I wonder if we taped our own prayers and played them back, what would we hear about what we pray for? I was humbled and convicted as I thought about that for myself. Certainly, I'm not trying to make people feel guilty, but showing how much of our own self-interest and self-protection is part of our lives and in our prayers so often dominates rather than praying for God's glory. How we pray and what we pray for will be an indication of our inner lives, the kind of fruit that is being produced. Those who abide in Christ will pray in a way that seeks and reflects the Father's glory, wanting him and his honour to shine through our words. Sometimes, I guess I've realised of myself that often we can fall into the rut of prayer being like a wish. We wish for better circumstances. We wish for healing. We wish for the freedom from difficulty. We pray, but they're really wishes. But to abide in Christ drives our prayers not for ease, not for our well-being, not wishes, but drives us asking that we will grow in obedience and grow in our love for other people. Prayers that ask that we would find our joy in Jesus alone and not in our circumstances. Praying to be faithful witnesses and for others to see Jesus in us. 200 years ago, two Scottish brothers named John and David Livingston were born. John moved to North America. He made money in farming and then later as a chemist. Under his name, John Livingston, in an old edition of the Encyclopaedia Britannica, John Livingston is listed simply as the brother of David Livingston. While John was pursuing his business interest, David had knelt and prayed. Surrendering himself to Christ, he resolved, "I will place no value on anything I have or may possess, except in relation to the kingdom of Christ. If anything will advance the interests of that kingdom, it shall be given away or kept only in reference to whether giving or keeping will most promote the glory of Him to whom I owe all my hopes in time and eternity." The inscription over his burial place in Westminster Abbey reads, "For 30 years his life was spent in an unwearied effort to evangelize." On his 59th birthday, David Livingston wrote, "My Jesus, my King, my life, my all, I again dedicate my whole self to Thee." Prayer in itself is not the answer, but without prayer, we show that we are looking for the wrong answers. The effort is in ourselves rather than in Christ's life flowing through us. As we move into a new year, 2021, and continue to wait for Jesus' return, the evidence that we are in Christ is that we willingly abide in Him. His life flows through us, producing fruit, the fruit of loving obedience that reflects Jesus and pleases and glorifies the Father. May this be some of our New Year's resolutions. I'm going to pray as we conclude. Our Father, we again thank You that through this year, difficult and challenging and awful it has been, we thank You that You have been God. While we have slept, You have kept the world turning. And as 2021 comes and we continue to wait for the Lord Jesus to return, we thank You for the life of Christ that lives in and through us, that He produces His fruit in us. We thank You for such a wonderful teaching. As we move into this new year, may we be people who obey, people who love, people who find joy in who You are and not in our circumstances, and people through whom the life of Christ drives and gives us the desire to live and to share with those around us. We thank You for what has been and all that is to come. Amen.